Well, good morning, everyone. As Luke said, my name is Jess, and I'll be doing the Bible reading this morning, which will be up on the screen. So we're reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Michael Steamson. Many people call me Steamer, associate pastor here. It's my joy to take us through today's message and a story from the Bible. And it's exciting because there's truly nothing quite like a compelling story. One of the fantastic things about stories is that they can take many different genres and mediums, can come in a form of an unputdownable book, an engrossing film, or even just a shared memory. They can range from great tales of conflict, gripping journeys of learning, transformation, epic mysteries of twists and turns around every corner, heartwarming stories of love, romance. One of the reasons why we engage so much with stories is because we can often see elements of ourselves in the characters. Their traits mirror our traits. Their struggles echo our struggles. Maybe their hopes and ambitions run parallel to ours. Book Week, which FYI, parents and teachers, just around the corner, it's a great example of this. During this week, children, teachers across the nation dress up as their favorite literary characters. They showcase the characters that they have connected with, perhaps the characters who they even aspire to be like. And while we do away with the dress-ups, here in church, we too often see ourselves in the characters in the stories of the Bible. And this is because, with the exception of God, who is both the central character and the grand storyteller of the whole narrative, all the characters in the Bible are humans. They're humans with both inner and external battles. They're humans who experience both failures and triumphs. And so very often we can personally relate to the characters in the Bible. Simon Peter is one such example. He has splendid moments of wisdom and insight, and yet at other times, he acts and speaks well and truly before he thinks. In one moment, he can demonstrate tremendous bravery and courage, and then not long afterwards, shrinks away with mouse-like fear. He is intensely loyal and committed until he isn't. Sounds like the guy I know who lives in the mirror. So over the next 3 weeks in this series titled Follow Me, we're going to engage with three stories involving Simon Peter. And like any good story, our journey over the next few weeks is going to have highs and lows. from Simon Peter beginning his new life as a follower of Jesus, to him being restored by the resurrected Jesus following his greatest failure, to living courageously for Jesus in the face of opposition. So let's begin this journey with Simon and his new life, as that's described in today's Bible passage from Luke chapter 5. And in this passage, Simon has three responses to Jesus. Simon obeys Jesus, Simon bows before Jesus, and Simon leaves everything to follow Jesus. First up then, Simon obeys Jesus. The opening verses of Luke chapter 5, they set the scene for the story that follows. Jesus, he's in the early stages of his public ministry, and he's been in the town of Capernaum, but he's departed to preach the good news of the kingdom of God throughout the region of Galilee. He hasn't traveled far before he comes across a body of water, which goes by many names, but here the author Luke calls it Lake of Gennesaret. Elsewhere it's called the Sea of Galilee. And so as Jesus is by the shores of this lake, he's surrounded by a large crowd who have come out to hear his teaching. And in their eagerness to hear from him, the crowd encroaches and surrounds Jesus to the point that his teaching's being impeded. He needs some calm and some space. He looks around. Behold, a couple of vacant fishing boats. One of those will do nicely. Jumps in, asks one of the fishermen to put him out just far enough so everyone back on shore could still hear him. Sits down, as was customary for teachers to do in those days, and he teaches the people from the boat. Can you imagine that the crowd who are gathered there, they're eager and they're actively hanging on Jesus' every word. It's exactly why they've come. This is what they were hoping for. But in contrast to that enthusiastic crowd, likely over off to the side somewhere, are these fishermen. They're not here to listen to Jesus. Rather, they've been out toiling and working hard all night without a skerrick of success. Now they're back on the shore. They're tired, frustratedly untangling, cleaning the weeds out of their nets. And Jesus teaching the crowd, it's likely just some background noise as they are hurriedly trying to complete the final task in their day's work. Perhaps you can see yourself in the story at this point. Either as someone who's come today eager to hear the word of God, or someone whose mind is preoccupied by something else. Well, if Jesus' teaching had been background noise to Simon, he makes sure to grab his full attention at the conclusion of his teaching. Jesus says to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, what an unusual, even audacious thing to say. Here's a carpenter's son, an itinerant preacher, telling a professional fisherman when is the best time to go fishing. You could just about forgive Simon for losing his cool at this point. I mean, it's really irritating when someone else tells us how to do our jobs. I mean, it's one thing for a boss or a co-worker, someone who's in the same field and has that knowledge to critique your work. It's a totally different thing when someone outside your field thinks that they can do your job better than you can. Now, as a professional fisherman, Simon knows that night is the optimal time for fishing. And if he's just been out working hard all night and returned with nothing, there's no logical reason why now in the daytime it should yield better results. Yet as weary and irritated as he likely was, something in Simon stirs him to go against his better judgment and listen to Jesus. Simon obeys Jesus' peculiar instruction, lets down the nets once again. You know, it's not unusual for Jesus to ask his people to do unusual things. Sometimes he asks us to do surprising things, surprising places, to stretch us and force us to rely on his wisdom rather than our own. A few weeks ago, we had Mark Peterson from CMS here. We heard an update from our partner missionary Kay. spending years learning another language and building cross-cultural relationships. It's unusual. It's resource draining. Could even be considered foolish. But for Kay, other CMS missionaries, they choose to obey Jesus so that others in gospel-poor parts of the world may come to know and have life in him. And so it may be a good opportunity for us all to take a moment now to stop and reflect. Has Jesus given me an instruction that I am yet to obey because it was unusual or surprising or went against my better judgment? Is there an area of your life where he is calling you to trust in his wisdom rather than your own? Please place something on your heart in this moment. Make a note of it. Be wise to listen and obey. Because as we see in the next part of the passage, obedience brings results. And those results are both immediate and immense. Having let down the nets into the water, in an instant, the nets fill with a tremendous number of fish. So substantial is this catch that the nets are now straining, almost at breaking point. The weight of this great haul is causing their boat to tip over, to take on water. They quickly realize that this catch is more than one boat can handle. So they call out to their colleagues, come, help us. But that does little to help the situation. Now two boats are overflowing and at risk of sinking. And in this frantic rush, something profound dawns upon Simon. Rather than taking action to save his livelihood, collecting in the fish, saving his boat, preventing it from sinking, what he needs to do is take action to save his life. His professional expertise tells him that only a representative of God could have produced a miraculous catch of fish like this in the middle of the day. He realizes there is a holy man on board his boat, and his presence is like fire. It's beautiful, it's warm, it's inviting, but it's dangerous if not approached carefully. And so Simon bows before Jesus, says to him, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Now, the premise behind Simon's actions and words is that a man of God surely would want nothing to do with an everyday sinner. He assumes that God only uses extraordinary people. The pious, the educated, the elite. As an ordinary, uneducated fisherman, he's not feel worthy to be in Jesus' presence and to receive this great blessing. More than that, as a sinful man, it's actually dangerous for him to be in the presence of a holy God. And so in words that are full of respect and awe, falls to his knees, asks Jesus to get away from him. But if the miraculous catch of fish astonished Simon and his colleagues, what happens next is even more amazing. Rather than being repelled by Simon's sinfulness, Jesus draws Simon in closer to him. Because rather than looking for the pious, and the educated, and the elite, Jesus is actually looking for people who can humbly confess that they need his help. It's one thing to be a sinner and deny it. It's another to know who you are before God and humbly bow before him. And so in a shocking twist, Simon's confession actually becomes his resume for service. Admitting his own brokenness, coming to Jesus empty-handed, means that Simon must entirely depend upon Jesus. And that's exactly the type of person that Jesus can use the most. Because as well as Jesus asking people to do unusual things, He also delights in using unusual people. Now, that's not unusual in the sense of quirky or strange, but unusual in running counter to our expectations. Because like Simon, we often see our limitations. We often see the reasons why we would not be useful to God and to his plans. It can be tempting for each one of us to look at our past, see the reasons why Jesus would be better off choosing someone else rather than choosing me. It's not uncommon for people in the Bible to do this. Moses tells God that he talks no good. Please send someone else. Gideon doubts that he can be God's mighty warrior because he's a nobody. He's the smallest and weakest in his family, who are the smallest and weakest in the whole country. And Simon is a sinful man who tells Jesus to go away. But extraordinarily, God can and does use each one of these people to achieve his purposes. So do you truly and wholeheartedly believe that God could similarly use you? Can you not get past your own limitations, the reasons why not? Can I encourage you that Jesus doesn't just see who you are right now? He sees who you can become by following him. He doesn't just see who you are right now. He sees who you can become by following him. And so for Simon and for us too, a turning point has been reached. In response to Simon, Jesus first assures him that he's in no danger. He need not be afraid. And having reassured him, Jesus then calls Simon to a new life. From now on, things will be different for Simon. The nature of his new life is revealed in the final words. From now on, you will fish for people. And the words here, they use and they take a typically negative image and reverse it. Because unlike fish, which are caught to be filleted and devoured, Simon is to catch people alive or to catch people for life. And so with these words, Jesus is calling Simon to join him in his mission of rescuing people from the dangers of sin and death and hell and bringing them into eternal life in his kingdom. And while this call is issued to Simon individually, did you notice the response? So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The response is collective. Simon, along with his brother Andrew, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they all respond to the invitation of a new life with Jesus. And they leave behind the tools of their livelihood, their nets and their boats. They leave behind the greatest catch they would have ever seen in their entire lives and careers. Why? Because that catch was not nearly as important as what it taught them about Jesus. He is God's chosen one. He is the Christ who has come to bring life in abundance. So they left everything and followed him. For us here today, as we reflect on this story, as we reflect on the character of Simon Peter, I think that each of us will potentially fall into one of three categories. And each category has a question to ponder and consider. First category is those of us who have never followed Jesus before today. Well, if that's you, I hope that you resonate with, see something of yourself in the character of Simon Peter. Have you been out striving, toiling to build a better life for yourself, only to come up short? Do you think that there's no way that God would be interested or even forgive, even love
someone like you? If so, be assured you are exactly the kind of person Jesus is looking for. So your question is, will you begin your new life with Jesus today? Let today be the day you bow before Jesus, admit your brokenness before him. Let today be the day you leave your old life to follow him, begin a new, abundant, overflowing life. If you want to begin your new life with Jesus, that's so exciting. Please reach out to whoever invited you along, a family member, a friend. You can chat to me as well, because we would love to help you begin following Jesus. Well, the second category of people is those of us who would call ourselves followers of Jesus, but we've become a bit complacent, a bit half-hearted, a bit lukewarm. I mean, we love Jesus as our Savior. I mean, we're less keen on Jesus as our Lord because that challenges our character and challenges our comforts. So we water down the hard call to fully let go of our own ambitions and wants and desires. If that's you, I hope that you can take inspiration from the collective response of the fishermen. They leave everything to follow Jesus. They're 100% all in. Now, of course, there's a huge cost associated with this choice. The miraculous catch of fish would have been a significant payday, would have been the biggest payday of their careers. To leave behind this catch, as well as the tools of their trade, their financial future, that's a substantial cost. Their new vocation of fishers of men, that's going to be far less financially rewarding. So why do they do it? Because the catch was not as important as what it taught them about Jesus. He's the Christ. He's the God's chosen one. So they left everything and followed him. Their response, it challenges us to consider this question. Am I prepared to count the cost? Or am I still attached to my old life? Is following Jesus my first, greatest priority? Am I all in? Do I still have one foot in the boat? One hand still holding onto the nets? It's weighing me down, holding me back from fully realizing my new life with Jesus. Today is a great day to let go. Leave the old life behind that all of us, we might be all-in followers of Jesus. Finally, the third category of people here today are those Jesus is calling to a vocational change, to be fishers of people. Part of the good design of God's creation, God ordains people to work. We are the caretakers and the custodians of this world and the people within it. And so alongside this good work, doing it, which honors God, Jesus commands his followers to share in his missional work of going and making disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to follow his commands. And so in the particular places and life circumstances in which God has placed each of us, they're our own little fishing ponds. All followers of Jesus have this ministry, and all are equal before him. Yet some are given particular gifts, characteristic, and the work of serving him vocationally. So have you ever taken the time to consider if Jesus is calling you to a vocational change? If you're in the medical, allied health fields, could Jesus be saying to you, from now on, you'll bring healing to people's spiritual lives? If you're a tradesperson, engineer, could Jesus be saying to you, from now on, you'll help build my kingdom? If you're an educator, could Jesus be saying to you, from now on, you'll teach people what it means to follow me? Some of you would know that my former vocation was as an engineer in the Air Force. When people find that out, they often say something like, oh, that's a big change. Why'd you decide to do that? The truth is there's was many and lots of little reasons that all contributed to making the one big decision. But at least part of my thinking was reflecting on this question. What does it look like for me to be an all-in follower of Jesus? Does it look like being an engineer in the Air Force? Does it look like being an engineer somewhere else? Ultimately, I decided that my particular characteristics, life circumstances, vocational ministry is the best way for me to serve Jesus with everything that I have. Now, that's not to toot my own horn, say that I am an exceptional follower of Jesus, because I'm not. I'm just like Simon, just like you, a sinner needing to humbly bow before Jesus. Am I saying this because vocational ministry is the best or only way for everyone to follow Jesus. It's not. But I share this story because I think it's worth each of us thoughtfully considering this same question. What does it look like for me to be an all-in follower of Jesus? How can I give him my best? Is he calling me to be a fisher of people? While he isn't always an example of getting it right, we'll see that next week, let's today learn from Simon's three responses to Jesus. Let us be obedient followers of Jesus who rely on his wisdom rather than our own. Let us be humble followers of Jesus who come to him empty-handed, entirely dependent upon him. Let us be all-in followers of Jesus who are willing to count the cost of following him, go wherever he leads. Friends, let's each respond to Jesus' call to follow me, because ordinary folks like you and me are exactly the kind of people that Jesus delights in using to build his kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we humbly confess and bow before you as sinners who are unworthy before you. But Lord, we give great thanks and we rejoice that ordinary people like us, sinners, are exactly the kind of people you came to redeem, to rescue, and to call into building your kingdom, to work alongside you, to be fishers of people. Lord, reveal the areas of our lives where we need to be obedient to your call, to rely on your wisdom rather than our own. Bring light on those who you've placed into our life, our circumstances, who we need to witness to, invite to join in this call to follow you. We give great thanks that you give us your Spirit now to help us follow you each and every day. May we be all-in followers of you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, as we do each week, let me invite you now, take a minute, open up your phone, open a notebook, and write down one thing, your one thing from today that has struck you or challenged you, encouraged you, given you something to think about. Take 60 seconds, write it down. Share it with someone over morning tea. Why not ask them, what was your one thing from today? After that 1 minute, Shannon will come down and continue leading us in a time of prayer.